Our Father, we are in awe of you. That you, the God of the universe, the God of power and wisdom and might, could love us to the degree that you have. Father, your love awes us. Your forgiveness is beyond our comprehension. We pray that you'll bless us as we seek to know you better and to follow you more wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While you're turning to the 23rd Psalm, let me encourage all of our ladies that coming up October 22nd, 23rd is our ladies' retreat. It's going to be at Saints Grove Campground, which is just east of Stillwater. The theme is going to be encouragement. The speakers are going to be Janine Varner and Paulette Schreck. Registration has been extended through October the 10th, next Lord's Day. Boy, I want to encourage you, ladies, make that a part of your calendar that weekend. October 22nd and 23rd. It's always a time of a lot of fun and as well as a time of great spiritual enjoyment and encouragement. So I hope that you will make that a part of your calendar weekend, October 22nd, 23rd. Be sure and register at some point around this building and get it in so that we can be sure and have you a place reserved. Psalm 23. Studies have been conducted that conclude that the most well-known passage of Scripture in all the Word of God is the 23rd Psalm. And so this morning we turn our attention to the familiar and yet one that blesses and inspires us every time we look at it. The boy who was a shepherd, later to become king of Israel, says to his shepherd, in this psalm, I will trust you with the whole of my life. Listen to the words of the shepherd boy David as he writes of the shepherd God of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One commentator said, only a shepherd could have written this psalm. It is indeed a psalm of David. And as a shepherd himself, he captures much of the imagery of that shepherding process as he talks about his shepherd God, the God of Israel. In the ancient world, if you lived outside the nation of Israel itself, not the geographical confines, but the nation, the people itself, shepherding was an abomination. If you recall the story in Genesis when Joseph has risen to power and he begins to explain to his dad and brothers who are about to go in and meet Pharaoh, he says to them, when he asks you what you do, you be sure and tell him you have tended livestock from the time you were boys. Do not say you are shepherds, for shepherding is an abomination to the Egyptians. It's interesting to me that which the world despised is the very thing God is willing to become. And so the shepherd speaks of his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. It adds a dimension that you cannot miss when you put that little personal pronoun, my shepherd. What a difference that makes. David did not say he is a shepherd. He says he is my shepherd. I was in Abilene yesterday for a little while, and I went to a football game. Abilene Christian was playing somebody, and I don't even know who they were playing. And I was meeting a lot of the kids, and just kids all over the place. And when I say kids, I'm talking about young people, 19, 20, 21, 22 years of age, all over that place. Everywhere you look, there were kids. But the young man seated next to me and the young lady sitting right directly in front of me were special because they were, what? My kids. That takes on a new dimension altogether. When you say that's a house versus that's my home. That's a woman versus she's my wife. That's a girl versus she's my daughter. David says about the shepherd God of Israel, he is my shepherd. Therefore, I lack nothing. How does that work itself out in life, David? Well, notice, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm told sheep will not lie down in green pastures until they have eaten their fill and are satisfied. Folks, our world is scurrying all over this planet to find something that satisfies. Some of them are looking for it in their work. Some of them are looking for it in pleasure. Some of them are looking for it in sensual pleasure. Some of them are looking for it in careers and all kinds of different dimensions. Listen, David says there is one thing that satisfies me, and that's the shepherd of my soul. And in him I find satisfaction. And David says he also leads me beside quiet waters. Because of the heat and the wind of Palestine, it was necessary and is necessary for sheep in Palestine to drink water every day. And therefore the shepherd had to know where those pools of water and those springs of water were, that he could lead the sheep and they could drink of the refreshment of water. Sheep are so frightful and so shy, they wouldn't drink from fast-running, noisy water. They would only drink from quiet waters. And David says, God leads me to the place where I can drink the refreshment of His presence. Well, you know, folks, we need sometimes just to slow down and be still, as he said in Psalm 46, and know that He is God and drink of the refreshment of His presence. David says He restores my soul. Thousands of years ago, Aristotle made this statement about sheep. They're sluggish and stupid and aptest of all to wander, even though they have no need and are not able to return. Aristotle picked up thousands of years ago the characteristic about sheep is that they have a tendency to wander off from the flock. Not that they make a conscious decision to leave the flock and the protection of the shepherd. They just get distracted, eating and carrying on, and they just wander off. David said, you know, I've noticed that about my own life. I have a tendency to wander from God. But I have a God who is my shepherd who loves me enough that He comes and gets me and restores me to His presence. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. As a shepherd would lead his sheep across the Palestinian wilderness, he would take the same route many times to water, the same route many times back home to the sheepfold. And as they walked, the shepherd leading his sheep, a path would be formed. And as David had walked hundreds of those paths in his own experience, he thinks about the path and he thinks about the shepherd God who leads him. And he says, my God always leads me in paths righteousness. You know, at some time or another, all of us are followers. Boy, it's important who you follow. My best friend in junior high was more of a leader than I, and I had a tendency to follow him. And I want you to know, he got me in more trouble than I could say grace over. Because I followed him. David says about our God, folks, that if you follow him, you are always following one who will lead you to places of righteousness. And he does it for his name's sake. That is, in characteristic with the nature of his being, and in keeping with his promises, he'll always lead you to the place of rightness. The pronouns change at verse 4. I don't know how many hundreds of times I had read this psalm before it dawned on me, the pronouns change at verse 4. The first three verses, he's making declarations about the shepherd God of Israel. But at verse 4, he starts directing his attention to the shepherd God of Israel. Because he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, not because he is with me, but because you are with me. You see, when the pasture lands grew thin, the grass was sparse, the shepherd would lead his sheep down through the ravines and the crags into the valley floor where the grass was more plentiful. The predators that would eat his sheep were always hiding in the crags and the rocks and the ravines. And as the shepherd would direct his sheep down the hill and down the ravine to the valley floor, it was there that he was most apt to have an attack on his flock. David had had that experience. He had led his own sheep down through the cracks and the crags and the ravines, down into the valley floor, and it had predators try to prey on his flock. And David had taken his shepherd's crook, called the rod, and the staff that the shepherd would lean on, and suddenly they become weaponry. David says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when predators are all around me that would take away my life, I don't even fear then. Why? Because you are with me, and your rod and your staff are a comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It was a practice of the ancient world that a conquering army would come in and surround a walled city, and they would cut off the food supply. People could neither get in nor get out. And they would just stay there for weeks and weeks until the entire food supply of the city was eaten up and gone, and people were starving to death, and oftentimes they would surrender to the army without even a battle. David draws on that imagery and says, even though in the presence of my enemies, surrounded by my enemies, my God prepares a table, a feast for me. You anoint my head with oil. David remembered the day when the servant had come out into the field and said to him, David, your dad wants you up at the house. And David had made the trek back to his house and walked into the house to see his seven older brothers standing in a line and a prophet there named Samuel with a horn of oil in his hand. And as he walks into the house, the Spirit of God said to Samuel, anoint him the next king of Israel. And Samuel had taken the horn of oil and had gone to this little shepherd boy, the youngest of the eight sons of Jesse, and had anointed him to be king of Israel. Folks, you couldn't find a more least likely candidate in all of Israel than David. And it always impressed David that God had chosen him among all people to be king of Israel. How long has it been since you just stopped and reflected on the idea that God has chosen you to drink of his salvation and to enjoy the presence of his Spirit? God has chosen you to live in a land like this one, where you could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and drink of the salvation of God through him. You're chosen. David says, my cup runs over. As I think about the blessing of my shepherd God, as he has poured his blessings out on me, it just runs over, the abundance of God's blessing. Surely goodness mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You see, it was the practice in the ancient world that the shepherd led the sheep. The sheep would follow the shepherd, and to assure that the sheep stayed up and behind the shepherd, there would be two shepherd dogs that would follow them. David, drawing on that imagery again, says God's shepherd dog's names are goodness and mercy. Now, folks, we're hemmed in on both sides by God. God is out there leading us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, and behind us and pursuing us and staying after us all the days of our lives are His goodness and His mercy. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you say that word with me? Forever. Forever. David talked about a hope that beat within his bosom that he didn't fully understand yet. You see, it's yet 1,000 years before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus give that real context and definition. And David probably didn't fully understand it, but he knew that that hope beat within his bosom, that there was going to be life beyond. And somehow, in the presence of God, he was going to be able to dwell all of his life. And though he didn't fully understand it, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he writes it. Folks, we are going home. We're going home. I want to keep reminding you, this ain't home. One of these days, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, as we have come to Him by faith, we're going to be in the presence of Christ forever. We will dwell in His presence forever. Let's give Him thanks. Oh, our Shepherd God, we too claim that You're our Shepherd, and that we lack nothing because You've given us everything we need in Christ Jesus. Father, it's our prayer that as we're apt to wander, that Your love and mercy will continually stay after us, and that You'll bring us back to You. Father, because of the hope that beat in David's bosom, we too share hope. We thank You for the assurance we found in Jesus Christ that the day is going to come when forever we'll be in Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me. The quiet waters by.
If you're a member of this church family, you know that we began the process of nomination this morning to appoint under-shepherds, if you will, who, following the lead of the Good Shepherd, will lead us in spiritual matters here. As I reflected on the faith of this shepherd in Psalm 23, there are two or three things I think are important for application for us as we nominate those who should lead us. First of all, you cannot miss in this psalm the leadership of the shepherd. Time and time again, David makes reference to his leadership. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Over and over, His leadership is mentioned. Folks, the men that we are about to put their names down on a nomination form must be leaders. Now, don't misunderstand me. Not men who by the power of their charismatic personality or their success in life or their position in life in terms of their worldly success must lead us. I'm not talking about that kind of leadership. But the men that we nominate as shepherds must be leaders in the sense that the power of their example of life is so strong, we will follow. The leadership that I describe is the kind of leadership that if you find yourself in a spiritual desert somewhere, you can put down the names of men you could go to help you lead, help lead you out of that spiritual dryness. Leadership. Number two, I want us to focus on verse 3 where it says, He restores my soul. As we mentioned earlier, not only is it an aptness in sheep to wander, we too are apt to do that. Not that we consciously decide, I'm going to turn my back on God, or in rebellion, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. But we just have a tendency with our own agenda in this busy life we live in to just sometimes wander off. Listen. The men whose names we submit need to be men who love you enough, they will come get you if you wander off. If you find yourself drifting and wandering, the men you need and I need as shepherds are men who love and care for you enough to come get you when you stray. And thirdly, you cannot miss the provision and the protection of the shepherd. The provision of satisfied sheep lying in a green pasture and drinking refreshment from still waters and eating from a table prepared in the presence of our enemy. The provision of the shepherd is there. Listen, we need to put down men who know us well enough to comprehend what our spiritual needs are so they can provide for those spiritual needs. And protection? It was the shepherd's responsibility to put his life on the line to protect the flock, and he did. This flock is going to be subject to attack from time to time. It's always been that way. Sometimes there are going to be attacks from the outside. Those are pretty rare. Sometimes someone will take a rumor that has absolutely no seed of truth and make an attack on this flock, or somebody will take a small seed of truth and twist it just a little and multiply it a little bit and make an attack on this flock. And the shepherd has to stand and protect this flock. But most of the time, the attack comes from where? The inside. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, from among yourselves, men will rise up for wolves in sheep's clothing. And so the men we submit need to be men who will take a stand and protect this flock, no matter what. I asked you last week, pray and participate. Well, I hope you've been in prayer about the men you're going to submit, because now it's time to participate. We selected from among ourselves 7 men to serve an administrative committee, and they are just that, administrative. They will administer the process as we appoint shepherds from among ourselves. The chairman of that committee is Larry Klutz, and Larry is going to come now and walk us through this phase of nomination. And so listen carefully to his instructions and be ready in just a moment to participate by writing the names of men you want to submit as leaders. Larry?
Ronnie said, you, the members of the Quail Springs Church, have selected 7 men to serve as an administrative committee to aid the congregation in the selection of new elders and the reaffirmation of the present elders. That selection was made on a mathematical basis, and the men you have selected are Brad Avey, David Gaither, John Hager, Ken Johnson, Wilson Meek, Barry Tapp, and myself. And I was selected by the committee to serve as chairman. In a moment, you'll be given a nomination sheet upon which you can write the names of those men whom you know to be qualified to serve as elders and under whom you are willing to serve. You may list as many men as meet these criteria. Before these sheets are handed to you, there are just two very important things that you need to understand to help you fulfill your responsibility in this critical undertaking. First, you must understand that the members of the congregation are truly selecting the men under whom you will serve. The administrative committee is precisely that, administrative. Neither the committee nor the current elders will be screening the nominees. According to a predetermined percentage schedule, the persons receiving the most nominations will be considered further. Each of these men will be interviewed by the administrative committee to determine their willingness to serve as elders, and they will be given an opportunity to discuss the cost of being elders in terms of their personal lives. Therefore, the second thing takes on a vital importance. We earnestly ask that each member of the congregation fill out one of these nomination forms. Remember, the men who will move forward in this process will be determined by the number of nominations they receive. Even though you and your mate agree on the people you want to nominate, each of you must fill out a separate nomination form for us to determine the will of the congregation. These forms will be held in complete confidence by the committee. No one else will see them, and they will be destroyed after their use has been fulfilled. The point is, they must be signed, or they will not be considered, and your nomination not be counted. This is necessary because we will inform you why any of your nominees are not presented to the congregation for affirmation in late November. The reasons for not presenting your nominee could be because he did not